This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my good colleague, Conrad Black, distinguished biographer and columnist for the National Post, about Canada, a subject I've grown increasingly keen on because it's a nation that is very friendly to me, always have been whenever I've been in Canada crossing a river. Also, it's a fascination for the success of the Western Hemisphere. The new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, and the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, have been involved, what you say, in a misunderstanding these last weeks that initially was understood to be a driver for the break in conversation between the U.S. and Canada about tariffs, about trade. It now emerges, if I read Conrad Black's new column correctly, that the misunderstanding was not entirely transparent. I want to make this very quick, Conrad. Doug Ford put an ad up that showed Mr. Reagan saying that he was against tariffs. It was out of time, out of place, long time ago. Mr. Carney represented that he didn't know it was happening beforehand and has apologized to Mr. Trump, who was offended by the ad. But there needs to be another detail here. To your column, it looks that Mr. Carney was informed of the ad before it went up. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you put your finger on the problem. When the ad went out coming from the province of Ontario, President Trump's reaction was a good-humored one. And the position that the prime minister of this country, Mark Carney, took was that he didn't know anything about it. Then Doug Ford said that was nonsense. He told him all about it before he put the ad, in one of the intermissions in the World Series game, where you would get a very large number of American viewers. And so Carney is made to look rather silly here, and indeed having been untruthful about it to Trump, and our understanding up here was that Trump was quite annoyed about it, and he said that he would cool things out with Canada for a while. Though my understanding is that it's all been sorted out now, and we're back on a business-like basis. So it appears to be, while a silly incident, it appears not to be a long-term problem.
Yes, heads of government best be candid with each other. That would help to maintain good relations between the countries. So let's.
Yeah, and I think everyone understands a sort of good-natured barb, but pretending to know nothing about it when you do, in fact, had foreknowledge of it is not a confidence-building thing, you know.
The two allies are working this out, but the adversary of the People's Republic of China is in the news every day. And while the U.S. struggles with China, Canada more than struggles. There have been confrontations these last years, and they've damaged Canada's prosperity. And one of them had to do with canola seeds. Another had to do with energy. I understand in the conversation that happened in South Korea between Mr. Carney and Mr. Xi, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, there is reason to believe that some of this will be worked out. Is that what you're hearing in the news in Toronto?
Yes. Our impression here is that Xi has gone out of his way to be conciliatory both to Canada and to the United States. It appears that both President Trump and Mr. Carney had quite satisfactory meetings with him. So I think, there are a lot of people cautioning that you can't always trust what the Chinese say, but at least, it's not for me to contradict that, but at least you like to have these people speaking civilly and constructively to each other and not pounding the table and threatening each other.
The agriculture part of this, I believe, should be worked out straightforwardly. You've got very good food, and China needs food. They do not have first-rate food in China. But the energy.
Yeah, and of course, they got 1.4 billion people to feed, too.
And 800 million of them are in poverty. That is a fact that I have in these last days to remind all of us that China is the face of China is not smiling all the time about the deprivations of its own people because of the past. However, we come to energy, which does involve Canada. My understanding, I'm learning these things, Conrad, so I might mistake them.
No, you're very knowledgeable.
But you have a pipeline called the Trans Mountain Pipeline from Alberta, where the oil is, to the West Coast near Vancouver, and from there to the Pacific Basin, customers such as China.
Yep.
Is there a need for another pipeline? And
Yes, there is, both east and west and south. You know, we had the XL pipeline, and then Biden canceled that, which would take oil and gas into the United States, and then it could be offloaded at various points in the United States, and then what got to the Gulf Coast would then be shipped out to wherever, you know, wherever you want to send it, you know. And Biden stopped that. And then there has been a plan to go to northern British Columbia, Prince Rupert, near the border of Alaska. And that would be closer to Japan and China than near Vancouver. And in addition, as we've discussed many times in these programs, John, it's just absurd that Montreal and eastern Canada, to the east of Montreal, and there are, I don't know, 5 or 8 million people down there, 5 million in Montreal alone, they get their oil from overseas, and it should really come from Alberta. So it's high time we built a pipeline there, too, and used our oil, to heat the homes and ultimately produce the gasoline for the population of eastern Canada.
And China is looking to be one of the customers of your very good oil. When there's an abundance. I think the number now is about 800,000 plus barrels a day through the Trans Mountain Pipeline, and that can be increased. You've got customers for it if the pipelines are built. And that takes us back to Mr. Carney. During the campaign, he was quite harsh about climate change, quite harsh. But he did make accommodation, I believe my memory, about pipelines. Is that correct? And does he still talk that way to say that we need pipelines?
Yes. He did not raise it in the government's budget that was presented on Tuesday. But at least that's better than continuing to be on the warpath against the oil and gas industry. And in bilateral talks between Prime Minister Carney and the Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, a very able woman, I believe it's been tentatively agreed that the federal government will approve the pipeline I mentioned to northern British Columbia for shipment on across the Pacific. And what they are going to do, which the government of Alberta is fine with it, as long as it's not paying for any of it, which it will not be doing. The federal government is going to extract, it says, a large amount of carbon from the ground and bury it up in the Northwest Territories. Now, personally, I think it's a total waste of money, but it gives him something, Carney, something to throw to his media-conscious followers while placating Alberta and benefiting the country as a whole by having a second pipeline, which, as you say, it's 800,000 barrels a day now going on the Trans Mountain. This will more than double the daily shipment of oil to the west from Alberta. So it certainly would be progress.
Conrad Black, writing for the National Post of the promise of Mr. Carney.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor